This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence with more music of the moment in West Michigan. Hot Club of Detroit appears in Kalamazoo once again tomorrow night at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. It's known for having its roots firmly in the tradition started by Django Reinhardt, but also forging new paths by bringing in their own modern-day influences. Recently, I spoke to virtuoso accordionist Julien Lavreau about tomorrow night's concert, which is the finale to the Fontana Summer Festival. The Hot Club of Detroit got together just over 10 years ago, so you've had a decade of working as a gypsy jazz band. I'm sure you've also worked with a lot of enthusiastic amateurs wanting to play this style, given master classes and mentoring and lessons and such. What are some of the right things and the wrong things to do when you're getting into this particular music?
I would say maybe first and foremost, like any genre of music, you have to be very, very familiar with what it sounds like. And what I mean by that is really listen to the music in a very, very deep fashion, just not in the background, but actually where it becomes kind of, you can almost predict what it's going to sound like before it does. And so, in other words, you get familiar with the language that is being spoken or played, in this case, since it's music. I mean, theory is great and everything, but there is nothing better than having a great ear, or at least make sure you always take care of that part. So I would advise that to listen to, if we're talking gypsy jazz and hot clubs in general, I would go back to where it came from, which is the man himself, Django Reinhardt, who played incredible guitar playing in the 30s and 40s. And I would definitely check out his records with the Hot Club of France, which he formed with the violinist Stefano Grappelli. And I would listen to as many records as I can. So once you do that, maybe also get familiar with the instrumentation they had, which was It was a different type of guitar. It was, it's probably unfamiliar to most, but it's a different genre of guitar. So sonically, it produces a different sound. So you're not going to be able to just play that genre also if you don't have the right gear or the right setup. So, you know, probably do some research. And now with the internet and everything, it's very easy to find out what these guys may have been playing. And then if you're really serious about it, you start investing in, you know, maybe like a beginning gypsy guitar. So at least you have the right tool in your hands to begin with. And I would say after that, you know, maybe just play along with records in any genre of music. That's a great tool to just make progress and understand the music a little bit better and form a band eventually. If you're just by yourself at first, just, you know, try to get other guys that you think have an open mind and are into different genres of music and turn them on into that style and see what they think. And, you know, if you're a guitar player, for example, get yourself a fellow guitar player and a bass player and you start as a trio. Well, at first you can just start with just another guitar player and then two guys that are into that genre. And you learn about the music, you learn the changes, you learn the right voicings, because Django Reinhardt had different voicings that you could use because of, he had a handicap in his left hand that prevented him. I mean, it certainly didn't prevent him to be a virtuoso, but he lost the usage of the fourth and fifth finger in a fire and was still able to recover somehow and play probably some of the most virtuosic guitar playing that's ever been heard. And so consequently, he had to also come up with different voicings because of his fingers, because of the handicap in his fingers. But regardless, I think, you know, I would say trust your ear. So get the records, listen to it over and over, get a few guys together and get familiar with the repertoire, play along, and eventually, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, then after that, it's how much effort you put in it. And I don't know, you do it, you know, at first, maybe you do it for fun. And then eventually you end up, if you're really committed into it, you'll end up, you know, music will take you places. It always does. If you're doing something right, music will take care of you in return. I'm a firm believer of that.
So what are the pitfalls you might fall into on your journey?
Well, that's interesting. Well, you might, there's a certain way, definitely the rhythm, the way the rhythm is approached in the hot club style is very, very important and also very difficult to accomplish the right way. So a lot of people think they have it down when they really don't, because there's a certain way you release your left hand according to how you strum your right with the up and down stroke. I mean, it's definitely a technique that is not used elsewhere in any other genre but that genre. So it's really not also, you can't really say it's the same type of, for a guitar player, for example, it's not the same type of like comping in a big band setting or in a jazz setting. It's very, very different. The attack and the way the sound is produced, and also the way the beat is approached. It's generally very much on top of the beat, so it has that constant pulse that is a little bit perhaps forward all the time. So it feels like it's always kind of, you know, really, really present and in your face, if you would. Versus jazz guitar is way more laid back and kind of, you know, chill. It revolves around the guitar where I've seen the problems, because it's the most prominent instrument in that genre, because you have two or three of them, and one takes care of the rhythm and the chords and the other one is soloing. So it's basically if your guitar players aren't on the same page and aren't like very familiar with the style, you're not going to sound like a hot club.
Yeah, I think that goes back to your very first point, which is if you can't hear it, you can't play it.
That's true. I you know, but it's in any style of music, that's true.
Right,
you know,
right.
It doesn't matter if you play classical music. I mean, if you could play, you know, a fugue by Bach, and if you have no idea how you're supposed to phrase and play Baroque music, well, you know, you're going to be playing Bach, but you're not going to sound like what it's supposed to sound like. So, and it's the same with the romantic music on, you know, the music of Chopin and others, or even Beethoven before that. So, you know, I think every style of music, every genre, and certainly bebop as far as the jazz genre is concerned, or swing, every genre of music, you have to know, or you have to analyze on your own, or, you know, get some help from the internet or wherever. Now with videos and everything, there's so much instruction out there, and a lot of it is free. So it's almost like we have less and less excuses not to find out about something. Mm-hmm. If we really pour our heart and soul into something, we have so much that's available at the tip of our fingers that I think, you know, it's almost like we have less and less excuses, you know, in a way.
And you've had, you know, an up close and personal view of Evan Perry and Paul Brady making themselves work as a unit and making that rhythm just the most fundamental thing.
Absolutely. And also one thing that I want to mention is it's actually their part, what they're doing on that rhythm, that constant rhythm. It's so physical. And so you need to build a certain stamina in order to accomplish that, because the tempos are usually very medium up or up. So in order to be keeping up for, I don't know, 5 or sometimes between 5 and 10 minutes of this intensity with nonstop rhythm, you just can't start and one day you wake up and you're able to do that. You know, that takes a lot of years and a lot of training and a lot of discipline in order to be able to do that. But yeah, certainly Paul and Evan have been able to accomplish that, you know, like, I mean, since the beginning. And even like sometimes, like if we don't play for a while, they'll tell me, like, you know, they're a little bit more tired than you know, once we get rolling, because it's muscles. It's like a workout. It's a real workout.
So even though you might get flack from some people for playing while seated, you're actually working super hard.
Oh, totally. Like these guys on the guitar, like I always tell people, like, you know, because of me playing the accordion, and I kind of like I have, you know, I mean, they always think that because my instrument being all buttons, I get a lot of questions like, oh my God, this is so crazy. How do you get around this machine? Well, it's practice, but everybody has to practice. But in a way, I tell you, in that setting, I feel like the burden is really on the guitars, and especially the rhythm guitar player, because it doesn't matter how great or how, you know, consistent your soloists are on top, whether it's a saxophone, an accordion, a violin, whatever. But if your rhythm isn't correct, isn't done properly, you know, it's like the train won't go forward. So these guys, they're really the anchor. The bass and the rhythm guitar playing are the anchor of the hot club genre. That's for sure. No doubt about it.
Quick question about which personnel are going to be in person Hot Club of Detroit at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts on July 26th. Who are you bringing?
Okay, so we'll have, Evan Perry, our leader, will play. He's the lead guitar player and founder of the Hot Club of Detroit.
May I add, he spent a little few years here in Kalamazoo as a Western Michigan University student. So
that is correct. Yeah, absolutely. I think a couple years, if I'm not mistaken. The other person, actually, we have someone coming from Oklahoma that will be playing rhythm guitar that evening. His name is Ivan Pena. And on bass, we'll have Jordan Shurg and then myself on accordion, Julian Libro. So that'll be a quartet. And then we'll be presenting some familiar repertoire. And also we've been writing a lot, quite a bit. Evan and myself, we've been writing the past 6 to 8 months. We've been writing a lot of new repertoire because eventually we're thinking about doing a new CD. So we'll probably, I imagine, you know, share some of the new compositions with the audience. You know, we try to always push the boundaries and always create and get our language across through the medium of jazz and this subgenre of gypsy jazz.
It seems like, you know, gypsy jazz, the heyday was a couple decades. And if you're going to play in that style, either you're straight traditionalist or you're progressive. And clearly the Hot Club of Detroit wants to keep this a living medium, a living tradition. And that seems to be where you're going.
Absolutely. Well, we try, and that, you know, you said it very well. It's exactly you have really two camps. It's like you have the traditionalists that will play the tunes that have been played, you know, forever, and there is something to be said about that. But also, you know, for us as being the Hot Club of Detroit, we always thought that I don't know. It's a form of contributing to the music, and also I don't know if pushing it forward is the right word, because it's, you know, it's really not for us to judge on that. But I will say that nonetheless, we keep that in mind. Then, you know, other people can say, well, you guys have moved it forward or you haven't. But as far as being a musician, it's a way to really express who we are rather than just duplicate what's been done. And I think, you know, I mean, you can never be as good as the original anyway. And so you might as well do your own thing and I mean, revere the style, respect it, and then take it to places where you think it should go or that musically you are inclined to take it. And so that's why for us, you know, I mean, we bridge all the cultures and all the different genres of music that we listen to in the band. So sometimes it'll sound like, you know, it can be very rock, country, heavy metal, whatever, because we listen to all sorts of stuff. And so when we write and when we play, obviously, since it's part of our DNA, all those influences come in. I mean, it's very hard to just musically discipline yourself to be, oh, you know, I want to play in the style of Django Reinhardt, and that's all I do. Like I said, there's something to be said about that. But musically, I think for us anyway, we find it more rewarding to try to express ourselves through the medium.
Well, even though you guys push some boundaries and find your own path, is there part of you that feels protective of gypsy jazz and wanting to hold that tradition to a certain standard?
That's a good question. I mean, I definitely think it's almost like if you are going to push a style forward, you have to know and respect it, its history and know it inside out, kind of thing, where you should be capable to play what's already been done, in other words, or at least be very, very well aware of what it sounds like and what it is, in order to take the liberties to attempt to push it forward. So I, in that regard, I think there's definitely a great respect towards the tradition. And at the same time, it's a fine line, it's a fine balance between keeping that in mind, but yet not staying in that tradition too much. And at the same time, you just don't want to go all out where it's almost like, well, you know, it really doesn't matter what came before and we're just going to do our own thing. So I think there is a fine balance between the two. And if that can be achieved, I think, you know, in my opinion, that's a testament of being trying to do the best you can and being, you know, behaving like a good and serious musician should be artistically. You have to respect the past. But that's a very, very interesting question. But it's, I think there's a fine line between the two and a balance that needs to be accomplished. Certainly, I believe the tradition and somewhat has to be treasured and not forgotten. But it doesn't mean that you can't do your own thing with it if you are aware of what's been done and why you're doing it also. So there are many, you know, there are many questions within that question that I could come up with.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, this is the kind of great discussions I would love to be able to overhear when the band is in the van, you know, talking about the music on their way to a gig, or, you know, breaking out the beer after a long studio session and kind of reevaluating this, what the heck you're up to and what you're doing, why you're doing it.
Yeah, and in the band, it's funny because some of us, like, it works in different ways because everyone has a different opinion. And some of us feel definitely different about what I said. You know, we might totally, like, if you were talking to Evan, you might have a total different way in which you would approach it. But what works is we've been able to somehow compromise into what we think is a good middle ground. So even within the band, even though our opinions are different, again, there's that sense of balance in order to, you know, to be able to just move forward. And, you know, it happens often that we don't necessarily agree on, like, you know, some chord changes that goes here or goes there in the technical aspect. And that's fine because that's part of, you know, what artistically is interesting too. So the behind the scene is also very fascinating. We have conversations similar to this. They probably are way more technical than aesthetic, but nonetheless, we're doing the technical for the aesthetics ultimately. So they kind of like go hand in hand, but yeah, it's really, yeah. And I mean, the van, I don't know. Usually, well, because the van is usually like we're so tired in the van, but like usually at the bar after the show, that might happen, or during studio sessions or writing sessions, that's for sure.
Well, everything you just said has made me really excited to see you play and hear what you're creating in the moment at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts on July 26th. And very excited about your next recording project, which I hope comes out in the next year or so. That would be great. And I guess the last thing to do is to thank you for your time and can't wait to see you in Kalamazoo.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for supporting the music and listening. And we're grateful to be back and we can't wait for July 26th. We'll have a great time.
That was accordionist Julien Labreau, who performs with Hot Club of Detroit tomorrow night in the Fontana Summer Festival Finale Concert, starting at 7 p.m. at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. Full details are at fontanachamberarts.org. I'm Kara Lawrence, and this is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. Let's spend a little more time with the Hot Club of Detroit and hear a track from their album Night Town. This is called Django's Monkey.